The enemy will try to come in, do everything he can to pull us away from the Bible, to get us off on some weird kind of tangent. The great thing about staying consistent to a Bible expositional type or applicational type teachings is it keeps the teacher on target and it keeps the students, let's say, on target. We're all growing then in the word of the Lord. We're being fed the things of God. And so this person sees himself as a steward of God. He's bound by the word of God. In other words, he's got to be faithful and true to the word of God. And he passes that on and expects others then to be the same way. And he knows the word well enough that he can exhort and convict, especially those who contradict. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Or that's not what it means. In other words, he knows the word well enough to say, it says it right here. You know, I've had people do that to me before. I've said things, say, the Bible doesn't say that. Say, well, yes, it does. Look, it says it right here. Now, I think the hospitable, loving way is to throw a disclaimer in there. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. I'm not attacking you as a person. I'm just showing you this is what the Bible says. I have to answer to it, and I believe everybody else has to answer to it too. We're all going to be accountable before God. Okay? And so this person knows the word and is able to hold to the word. Really, what it comes down to, he's a leader that leads and doesn't ignore and recognizes there are going to be people that need to be exhorted and convicted because of what they're doing. Look at what Paul says. Now, remember, Paul's ministry, people were coming behind him constantly causing problems. He says in verse 10, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision," that would be the Jews of that day, "whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain." Well, there we have it again. What's their motivation? It's how they're going to ultimately get money. Okay? But what are they doing? They're teaching things that they shouldn't be teaching at all. Probably because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. You see, if somebody came in and was teaching the necessity of circumcision, then obviously it doesn't line up with the Word of God under the new covenant relationship with God, and someone would have to say, well, let me teach you a more accurate way. And if the person's not willing to receive that more accurate way, well, then you're dealing with somebody that's being insubordinate. If someone's coming in and they're trying to get money, they're trying to, fleece the flock, so to speak. You got to come against that kind of person, not let them get away with that. In other words, leaders have to stand against those that are doing such things, who are unruly, who can't follow orders, who can't be a team player, and who can't follow any form of authority. They've got to be stopped. And so, Titus, when you're setting up leadership, you got to make sure that these are people that are going to step up to the plate and do what needs to be done. Why? Well, Paul knew those of the circumcision would come in behind because they came in behind him. But then he gives us a specific quote for those that live on the island of Crete. Okay, look at what he says in verse 12. "One of them, a prophet of their own." Okay, this is not a biblical prophet. This is just, you know, it's a famous prophet on the island of Crete. He said this, "Cretans are all always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." Now, when we think of Cretans, we think, yeah, well, maybe, who knows? I don't know any, maybe they were. Okay, let's make it a little bit more personal. Texans, or anybody found in Texas, are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Isn't it like, hey, you don't know me. Don't say stuff like that about me. But he's saying, because that was written about them, they would almost go, well, I understand why they say that. Yeah, we are kind of that way, aren't we? And he's saying, this is the kind of people you're working with. This is the kind of people that are on the island. And he says in verse 13, this testimony is true. I mean, it wasn't a prophet of God who said it. It was one of their own. We could call him a false prophet. But he said, what he said is actually true. This statement, at least, is true. This is a true testimony. Therefore, how do you deal with people like that? You got to rebuke them sharply. You got to say, hey, that is not the truth. Now, come on, we know that that is not the truth. Now, why? Why would we confront someone like that? That they may be sound in the faith. In other words, they would be confronted so that they could be grounded and grow and experience the real thing of Jesus Christ. That's Paul's motive and intent and purpose behind all of this. In other words, since you know this to be true about them, don't let them get away with lying laziness. You know what? I'll tell you, when I first came to Texas, one of the things that I learned right off the bat, coming from Southern California, that in this part of the South, that I heard this is the Bible Belt, and then I heard this is the buckle of the Bible Belt, and I really didn't know what any of that stuff meant. And then someone told me, do you know why Texas Stadium is open on the top? And I said, I don't have a clue. And they said, so God could watch his favorite football team. And I just thought, now the person that told me that, I think, believed it too. And I just thought, oh. Then I remember I was the church was a lot smaller, and I was working somewhere else to subsidize my income. And this person said to me, he said, so you're a Yankee. I said, no, I don't think so. And he goes, kind of looked at me, and I said, you know, I was born in California. I don't even think we had anything to do with the Civil War. I don't, maybe we did, but I don't remember that in history. He said, you're not from Texas, you're a Yankee. Guess I'm a Yankee. Just now they're playing with you. But everybody seemed to think they're a Christian. It's almost like if your birth certificate said you're born in Texas, you're born Christian. Well, that's not true. The Bible says we have to be born again. The first birth didn't save anybody. It's the rebirth that saves us. And so I learned, different than the island of Crete, but in Texas, you got to make sure people understand what it means to be saved. And that's kind of what Paul's doing with Titus right now. He's saying, now listen, I want you to understand something about these people, because they'll tell you they're liars. They'll say, I'm a Christian, when they're not a Christian at all. They're lazy gluttons. They'll come to every potluck you have, and they'll eat your church out of house and home. And they'll think it's okay. You got to watch these people. You got to pay close attention to them. You think, what a unique group of people. Well, I bet you every area has its own uniquenesses. And I personally found when I came here, boy, teaching the entire Word of God is extremely important, because I've met a lot of people that say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian my whole life. They've never read the Bible once. They don't even know what the Word of God requires of Christians, but I'm a Christian. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd. That's not what the Bible teaches about Christianity. And so Paul goes on, and he says in verse 14, also, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. In other words, you got to stick to the Word and the whole counsel of the Word of God. Look out for fables, and look out for these weird things that other people will come up. You know, the 12-step program of how to be a perfect Christian. Just look out for that stuff. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Have you ever known someone that you would call a chronic liar? In other words, you knew someone, every time you talked to them, they lie. They're constantly lying. Do you know they believe that all people are liars? They're no different than anybody else. Oh, come on, people are always doing that. And that's what this verse is saying. It goes, their minds and conscience are defiled. It's almost like, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make anything, but those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, nothing's right, because everybody's doing this. Well, that's not true, but that's the way people think that are caught up in that. Look at what he says in verse 16. They profess to know God. In other words, they confess it with their mouth. But in works, they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. In other words, they profess one thing with their mouth, but if you were to watch their life, you would see something completely different. I've said before, and I think it's a good self-examination. When you get up in the morning, pretend there's a little tiny person. Fits in your pocket. Some of you, he could fit in your hair. Okay, in my case, that wouldn't work. But she's with you, or she's with you all the time. In any given day, would that little tiny person know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are a Christian because of the way you lived your life that day? When they got up with you in the morning, how long would it take them before they knew you were a Christian? Would they see your devotions? Would they see your prayer life? And if they were with you, they followed you to work, would they know you're a Christian because of your work habits, because they line up with the Word of God and they're following the Word of God? And if you messed up, would they see your confession and repentance so you could get yourself right with God? Or could they be with you for a whole day and never really know? Maybe heard something professed, but never really saw it in actions. And I'm not just talking coming to church type of actions, because, and I've told you before, that doesn't save anybody. It's a good thing to do. It's healthy for our relationship, but that doesn't make us Christians. Okay, what makes us Christians is the commitment to our belief in our God and our willingness to walk in obedience to Him. Look at what Jesus said about this, because Jesus warned about people like this in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who," look at this, "does the will of my Father." Now I want you to notice something. These people call Jesus Lord. This just isn't your run-of-the-mill, you know, whether they claim to be a Christian or they're not. No, they say, "Lord, Lord." And they're not only people that call him Lord, Lord, but they look like Christians. They do things that should be done, biblically speaking. Look at verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" That sure would look like a Christian, wouldn't it? Prophesying in the name of the Lord. Casting out demons in the name of the Lord. In other words, in Jesus' name. "And they've done many wonders and signs in Jesus' name." In other words, they profess to be Christians. And you're looking and seeing things done in the name of Jesus. But does their life really line up with their words, with their profession? Look at what Jesus says in verse 23. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" What? They called him Lord. They cast out demons in his name. They prophesied in his name and they did wonders in his name. And Jesus is going to say, "I never knew you." In other words, you never were mine. What? How can that be? Well, he tells us, look at the last couple words there. "You who practice lawlessness." If you have a King James Bible, it calls it iniquity. Okay? And what it means that they're doing what they do outside of the parameters that God has given us. In other words, if we were to take this whole thing into context, they're doing things outside of the guidelines of the Word of God. You see, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. But you see, there are those in the name of the Lord who do things completely away from what the Bible says. What the Bible says doesn't really matter because they can do things beyond the Word of God, greater things. And Jesus is saying, that's lawlessness. He's given us the guidelines. He's given us the directions to follow. And if we're not willing to follow the guidelines, it doesn't matter if we call him Lord, Lord. It doesn't even matter if there's signs and wonders going on. If we're not doing the things that he said to be doing, he says, depart from me. I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. In other words, you're not doing it my way. And I think today there's a lot of churches that aren't doing things God's way. There's a lot of parachurch organizations that are in the name of the Lord, but they're not following the Word of God. You see, we're all held accountable as stewards to God, to His Word, and by the way that we live our life, and by the way that our church is run, by the way that ministries are run. Nobody's above that. Nobody's outside of that. We're all held accountable to it. And so just because someone is willing to profess something, according to this, they profess they know God, but in works, they deny Him. They don't know Him in their actions. You see, if I said I was a Christian, and then you walked with me all day long, and you never saw me spend any time with God, you never saw me even trying to live a godly life. And I'm not saying I'm living a horrible, sinful life. I'm just not trying to live a godly life. And you were with me. How would you ever know what a Christian really is? I remember Years and years ago, I was paid a compliment in kind of an unusual way. I was considering a different occupation, and someone was training me. And I was so thankful that God brought this person in my life to spend the time to train me. And it was my time I was giving up, but this person was training me. And in the process of training me, you know, they'd swear a few things and say this or say that. And I never said anything to them. I was kind of waiting for the door to open to try to share the gospel. But I was kind of subordinate to this person. This person knew what they were doing. I wanted to learn how to do it. And so I was kind of letting them go on a little bit. And this one day when I came in, we'd only been working together a couple days. I came in and I had my Bible with me and something else and another Christian book, I think, with me. And I set it down this little spot and I said, okay, you know, here I am type of thing. And he looked down and he saw my Bible. And he said, you're a Christian. I knew you were a Christian. That was such a wonderful compliment to me because I never said a word to him. I knew you were a Christian. But then he said this to me about knocked me off my feet. I'm a Christian too. And I wanted to say, who told you you were a Christian? Well, you know, and I mean, he went on and he continued to talk a certain way and act a certain way. And I thought, where did you learn Christianity? Because your actions don't support your words. And the Bible says that when that's the case, that person's not a Christian. They may profess to know God. Oh, I know God, I'm a Christian. But in works, they deny God. In their actions, in the things they do. Now, nobody's perfect and everybody falls short. I know that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But even when a person falls short, we should see repentance and confession. They're trying to reconnect with God because that's part of what Christianity is all about. But if we're not making that reconnection, if we're not seeking God, saying it doesn't cut it, biblically speaking. Now, if you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, you know, Pastor, that's kind of a judgment call. I'm just reading a scripture to you, okay? Don't get mad at me about it. I didn't write the book, but I'm telling you what it says. They profess to know God, but in works, they deny him. And so I've learned, and I'm sure it's probably true in all areas that are Christianized, that people need to be taught the truth of Christianity because a lot of people just don't know. I went forward at an altar call and I took care of that salvation thing. It's like there's a whole lot more to being a Christian if we're going to live the life. It's not just what we say, but it's actually what we do. So it doesn't really matter what we profess if our life doesn't follow it. There's not some kind of evidence in it. Years ago, I worked with this guy, and this guy, he was the toughest guy I ever knew. Fighter. Beer brawler, street fighter, this stocky little guy. He just grew up his whole life fighting. I think he was a little brother. And he got beat up all the time. When he became an adult, he started taking it out on the rest of the world. And he was always, you know, and if you said something to him, he was the kind, he'd never work as an elder or bishop because he was quarrelsome, he was argumentative, he was all the things that this says we're not supposed to be. But I worked with him, you know, for a while, a few times. And he used to have this saying, and the first time I heard it, I thought, yeah, it's true. But it's very, very true. And he would say this. He would say, well, now you did the easy part. You said it. And I used to think, you know, you say that in such an obnoxious way. Can't you at least give someone the benefit of the doubt? Well, you know, in his world, people were lying and stealing and fighting and cussing and swearing and all that stuff. And his feeling was, talk's cheap. I want to see it. Now you've done the easy part. You said it. And that's always stuck with me. Even as a Christian, it's like, well, I don't want to just say it. I want to say it. Because the Bible says that we're supposed to confess Jesus. But I want people not to be shocked if I go, well, I'm a Christian. I want them to go, I thought you were. Hey, I could see by the way you act. I could, by the things that you're doing. In other words, your works line up with your words. And I think we need to ask ourselves. In this case, it doesn't matter if a person's a Cretan. It doesn't matter if they're Jewish. It doesn't matter if they're denominational or non-denominational. It doesn't matter if they're Lutheran or Catholic or Methodist. None of that makes any difference. See, no church is going to save any of us. It's an individual relationship with God through Jesus Christ that saves us. But what we have to ask, ourselves is, do my personal actions line up with God's word? Do they line up? If you profess to be a Christian, would you say, my life does line up with that? Oh, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. But you know, if somebody walked with me all day long, they'd know I love God and I'm trying to follow God and serve God. I'm trying to be all that God would have me to be. I'm trying to give my life over to Him. Not I'm riding on the fact that I'm a Calvary Chapelite or I'm a Catholic or I'm this or that. I assure you, that isn't going to matter when you get to heaven. God's not going to ask anybody when they get there, where'd you go to church? He already knows where you went to church. What He's really, if He asks anything, it's going to be, what'd you do with my son? Did you accept Him? Was He the Lord of your life? Was He your Savior? Or was it just something you talked about? Our actions need to support our words. And basically, it's not what we say that counts. I'm not saying don't say it, but it's not what we say that counts. You want to test yourself on this? In church today, that's not a very good place to test yourself. You guys are on what is known as your best behavior when you show up in church. You're not wearing normal clothes that you usually wear. You probably dressed a little bit more. Some of you, I hope, are not. You're casual. But you really are on your best behavior. That's not the real you. That's sweet, and we really like that while you're here. But that's not the real you. The real you is probably doing 9 to 5 or 8 to 4:30 or 9 to 9, whatever. And you can test yourself tomorrow. How many of you have to go to work tomorrow? When you go to work tomorrow, I want you to ask someone this question, and not a really good friend, because they'll lie. Ask someone who you just, you know, they know you work there, and ask them, "Hi, I'm just curious. Did you know that I was a Christian?" And you better hope and pray they say, "Yes, I know. By the way you behave, I could tell you must be a man and woman of God." Because if they say, "No, you're kidding me, aren't you?" Then you'll know, okay, I'm not quite lined up with what the Word of God says. You know, David said that he wanted us to honestly, God, you know, examine my own heart, deep within my heart. Am I fooling myself? And I think the real proof is in your world and the people that are out there. Do they know? And if they say, "Well, yeah, I know because you told me," say, "Well, no, it's not by what I said. Do you know by the way that I live my life? By my work habits? I mean, we work together, and I'm just curious. Tell me the truth. Don't lie. At least God strike you with lightning. You die, go to hell right now." I think it would help you see, am I on track? Am I doing the right thing? And don't ask your spouse, because you're just getting an argument. "Well, you think I'm not a Christian? What about you?" That's just not a good question to ask a spouse. Just say, "I love you too." But really, the real test is by the people you're in the world with. What do they see? Does your works deny that you know Him? Or do they confess? Do they proclaim that you know Him? The Bible says that our works are supposed to profess that we know God. So if we did confess that we know God, the answer should be, I thought you were a Christian. Just by the way you behaved. Just by the things that you did. Paul's telling Titus, that's the real guy. That's the real gal. That's the one you're looking for. Not the one that can talk the talk, but the one that's walking the walk.